You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Ah, the sounds of back to school time. There's plenty to about this time of year. So let Canes take something off your plate by putting something on it, like hand-battered chicken fingers and cane sauce.
Raising Canes chicken fingers, one love.
Lincoln. Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break, brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Live from Lincoln, America, here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks. I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Good morning, happy Thursday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break, officially 1 week away from kickoff, Nebraska, Cincinnati, 8 p.m., Arrowhead, a week from today, I'll be there, Sipple will be there.
Arrowhead,
I'll be there.
I'm looking forward to it more and more, I'm not...
Carson will be there with the booth, and so will Duke. So will Duke and Randy on the south end.
On the south...
Yeah.
Okay.
Carson's on the north end.
Yeah. God, I wonder with Duke and Randy why. I think they would want to be positioned on the north end.
Yeah.
Carson, you're going to get dibs on that, though.
We're not going to double up, Steve. That's craziness.
You don't have to double up. You can set them 40 feet apart.
Good. Well, if you can get a hold of Arrowhead, see what you can get done.
I don't know why I'm worried.
Arrowhead's already got no idea. You had nothing to say, so you just went with something random. I don't know why Arrowhead would do that to Duke and Randy.
They've already got their booth set up.
I want them on the north side for some reason. Yeah. You're coming from the north.
You're coming from the north. But
people tailgate in the south, though,
too,
you know.
Yes. It all depends where your parking spot's at, Steve.
It's a well-surrounded stadium with parking.
In my brain, the way I think of it is the Nebraska people will be coming from the north, and they'll be settled in the north.
They won't take the walk to the south side of the stadium or park over
maybe
there possibly.
Park on there. Have you ever seen an overhead view of the Chiefs and the Royals? It's just two venues. Complexes surrounded by like miles and miles and miles of asphalt.
It's concrete. Yeah.
At this point, we're arguing about a fictional event.
Stop fiction. What's happening?
There are no booths. You don't know that.
It's not
you
true.
You don't know that. Be ready. Have your resume.
Very odd.
Is there anyone going to the game? Can they please get a photo of themselves in front of the north, at the north outside the north
looking
end
for
zone?
The booth? Where's the booth?
With the holding their resume.
Carson, where are you?
Carson, we'll give up.
I can't find Carson.
We'd like that.
He's going to help people. He's going to help people with their careers before the game. It's amazing service.
You know, we got a text before the show began, about 5:57, from, this is why the Breakers are the best. Got a Northside Dave says, happy anniversary to Bill's parents. That's today. 70 That's years.
They sent it before.
Today?
Oh, yeah, today.
Which says, card is in the mail.
That is awesome.
To Ron and Sharon.
Sent the text in already at that. Yes, yep. Today's did it. They've hit it. 70 years ago, they locked things down.
Good God.
That is a long time. Yes.
Seven. Long God. Time. Long time. 70 years.
70 years. Let me think about this.
Are you doing some math on what year that was?
Yeah, what?
That'd be 1955, I believe, right?
1955, yes. Jeez. 1955.
Better.
That time. Was better times.
Yes. Better. Way better times.
Yes, it was a big... they had a dance at the Dutch Hall, which was a huge dance hall that was out in the country, and that was like a week after their wedding. It wasn't like the day of the wedding. No, it wasn't the day of the wedding. They got
delayed dance.
They got married on a Sunday, which is very normal back then in the church.
Oh, really? Really?
In the church, and there was a small reception in the basement.
Really? They got married on a Sunday.
Married on a Sunday, and then from that point in time on, then. And then they got back from their honeymoon, whatever it was. But a week or about 2 weeks later, there was a giant dance at the Dutch Hall, it was called. The Dutch Hall was incredible.
Dutch Hall?
Yes.
In
just imagine having a dance hall that was built sometime in probably the 20s or 30s when it was built, and people were just in the middle of nowhere. It was incredible.
God dang. Dwight Eisenhower.
I can drive right to it.
Casey wants to know, did the Rumbles play at the reception, Bill?
The Rumbles did not, but the most amazing thing is the band that played at their wedding also played, the exact band played at their 50th wedding anniversary. Which you think
about
that.
That's the longevity right there.
Yeah, yes. So when they played, they were in their late 80s or 90s when they played for my parents' 50th.
How'd that sound, Bill?
Yeah. Holy God. The Schmitz. Irvin Schmitz.
How was their sound in the list?
Really good.
Yeah, good? Good.
Really good. Dressed extremely well. He wore a white tux for the 50th. Yes. Imagine having a band.
Irvin Schmitz did.
Yeah, that would be like getting married and like I said, having the Rumbles play. And then 50 years later
that's awesome.
The same band plays again.
That's
better times.
Much better
times. Much better times.
That probably does not happen hardly ever.
Well, bands don't even exist hardly anymore for weddings. That's not a deal. They don't. It's
no,
DJ.
They don't. That's interesting.
Bands don't exist anymore. No, they don't.
They had a band for their wedding and for their 50th.
Yes.
The same band.
The same band.
Yeah, not
that's
just
hard
a band,
to do.
The same one.
It's really hard. They said, well, maybe we should get a band. And mom's like, well, just get the same band. It was really good. 50 years ago, it was really good. And so they went with that.
And he wore a white tux.
Wore a white tux.
White tux.
I'd like to know if the band that came back, if they had done anything recently in the last 10, 20 years before that. Were they still active
band? They were active.
In their 80s and 90s?
Oh, they played straight through. Yeah, they played like 60 straight years. Yeah.
I wish I would have known these guys back then.
Hmm. Yeah.
Up there mainly?
Mostly in that area, northeast corner of the state. This would be a Howells, Dodge, Beamer, Pender area type
God
of thing.
Dang it.
Yes.
God dang it. I'm just not very familiar with that area.
We got to get you up there. You've been to Crofton before. Fought there before.
A long time ago. Howells.
You fought in Crofton.
Yeah, a couple times. Howells.
Was it a smoker? They call it a smoker?
Yeah. I remember it pretty well, actually. Howells. I've never been to Howells. Anyway, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yes. Happy 70th anniversary today to Ron and Sharon Bush.
Who was that who texted in?
That was Northside Dave.
Northside Dave, thank you.
And he sent a picture of the card on its way.
Nice.
To Ron and Sharon to celebrate
that is awesome.
The anniversary.
I imagine they'll probably have some cards. May start arriving today. There'll probably be some that'll arrive over the next week. And
it's fine.
Actually, a late arriving card is even better.
Oh, good.
Well, just for the fact that it's like, you know, all of a sudden it's over. The day's over. Now, since 2 days later, it's like,
how about
hey,
a
check this
constant
out.
Constant flow.
Yeah,
of
how
cards
about this?
Here.
Check this out. Imagine all of a sudden Christmas is over, and all of a sudden December 29th, someone shows up. Hey, by the way, I got another bag of gifts for you guys.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. Yes, it would be. So there's the late arriving card might even be the more special card.
That's true. That's true. That's
it
true.
Really is.
Special.
That is true. Idle Chit Chat. Sip. Bill, what do you got from yesterday?
Eisenhower was the president in 55.
We like Ike. We like Ike.
They had probably had a, I wonder if they had We Like Ike buttons on their tuxes when they got married.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Very possible.
That's how Dwight was doing at that point.
Dwight.
I
Anything else from 55?
Oh, yeah, I saw. Oh, 55. Hold on. Yeah, I can do this.
What else is going on? What was the number one? Was the number one song on this date in 1955? That would be a great thing to know.
Something by Elvis, possibly.
Could be the King. Yeah.
Jake over there.
Isn't that a fair guess? He was 50s dominance for Elvis.
Okay,
Rosie.
Here we go.
50s and
here
60s. I'm going official guess something
no,
by Elvis Presley.
It. No, you won't know it. The number one song on the Billboard
okay.
year-end singles chart was Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White by Prez Prado and his orchestra.
I don't know that
Do
one.
Do think that band played that song at the 50th anniversary, possibly?
Might have been. Spent what, 10 weeks at number one.
What else was going on during that week? You think they got the top 10 there?
What was the top? Yeah. I can. What was...
Is this ChatGPT you're using right now?
Yes. What were the top 10
songs? It's a go-to for our show.
My parents danced to orchestras. Talk about better times.
Did they
really? Danced to orchestras. People showed up. What are the guys? Oh, not with the band. We're with the orchestra.
That's
how awesome
beautiful.
Would that be?
I'm the cello player.
Yes.
And that's the violin
they danced
over there.
To orchestras.
Yes.
Yeah, your dad's something else. Okay, so here's the top 10. I mentioned Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White by Prez Prado. Rock Around the Clock.
There
we
you
know
go.
That.
Oh, a classic.
Bill Haley and the Comets.
Yes. How about that name for a band? Bill Haley and the Comets.
Yeah, and I said it wrong. It's Bill Haley and his Comets.
And his,
oh,
and I didn't
his,
know that.
Oh, and
his Comets. That's, yeah.
Oh, God. How about number three? The Yellow Rose of Texas.
Yes.
By Mitch Miller.
Don't know that one.
By Mitch Miller. 1955. We're talking wedding year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Ron and Sharon. This is in honor of Ron and Sharon. Number four was Autumn Leaves. Never heard of
Never heard of Autumn Leaves.
Never heard of Roger Williams. Is that bad? I've never heard of Roger Williams.
I don't think that's okay.
Unchained Melody.
Unchained Melody. King of the Road?
No, that's Roger Miller.
Okay, well, listen, I see. I get the Roger part, right? An old song with the Roger.
Roger Miller, King of the Road, you missed the...
it's an old
a
song.
Schaefer,
and
a
Roger. Yeah, no, this is like Schaefer. This is Schaefer.
I got the right first
never
name.
Never heard of
it's not true.
C.W. McCall.
If I had the wrong first name, it'd be bad. Roger Miller, Roger Williams, not the same person.
They're not the same person.
No, they're not.
Very common last name.
Anything else we might notice in the top 10?
Yes, Unchained Melody Unchained by Wes Baxter. Yes.
Yes.
The Ballad of Davy Crockett's number six.
Okay.
Okay. And you know this one, Love is a Many Splendored Thing by the Four Aces.
Four Aces.
Number nine. Number eight is Sincerely by the McGuire Sisters. I've never heard of that.
Well, my parents love the McGuire Sisters.
They did.
No, they did.
This is an honor.
They love them.
They
love the Mills Brothers also. The Mills Brothers.
Well, the next
Cab
one,
Driver.
You'll know the next one, and I can't believe it's only number nine. Ain't That a Shame by Pat Boone.
Oh, Jay. Ain't That a Shame when that came on.
Nine.
Wow, nine.
That's fine. It's top 10. Top
10.
And then 10 is The Wallflower, Georgia Gibbs. Your mom and dad would know all that.
They would know them all, yes.
Rock Around the Clock was big. At
Imagine
that
also turn your radio on here and want to rock. Around the clock, 10 yeah,
do we think that the band kept the same music forever to adapt and add new music as time went by or not? Do you think the band that played for your parents?
They played the same sets.
50s and 60s
They played
songs.
That for 60 years.
Well, 50s, yeah.
This is what we do. This is what we do.
This is our music. You're going to like it,
Steve,
or we're going to leave.
Steve, I know it was Class C, so it might be quite different.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pep Band still played Rock Around the Clock for warm-up of a basketball game. That was a song that was played.
Yeah.
Think about that. So you're talking 30
some
years later.
Right there.
It's like that. Well, you guys go, let's do Rock Around the Clock, guys. Here we go. Everybody got it? Yep. And everybody, they would knock it out of the park right there in the Penner Gym.
Mm.
Yeah.
1955, the polio vaccine was declared safe.
Is that right?
See?
Mm. It's an important
a lot going
year.
On.
Important year in society.
The Cold War was tense. The U.S. and Soviet Union were locked in nuclear competition.
Okay.
Yeah, that was what was going on. Dwight D. was in his first term, enjoying wide popularity. He had a heart attack in September.
Of that year?
Raising concerns about presidential succession. A lot going on.
Yeah.
And Ron and Sharon were...
happily married.
Getting it on.
That's where we went with this.
Yeah.
That's
we had a nice lead, and then he went that direction.
I mean, getting it on in life.
In life.
Yeah, that's sure what you meant. Yeah, exactly what you meant there.
They were doing stuff in life.
What are we doing, Steve?
Why do we have
careers
underway.
We were very PG-13.
Yeah, it took an R-rated turn.
Just took a turn.
Maybe
they're getting their careers underway. Right?
Yes, apparently so. Thank you for that deep dive into 1955 to honor Ron and Sharon.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
You were busy last night, Zip.
Yeah, there was an event for Husker Online, and there was a lot of breakers. Holy God. I mean, it was.
Did it get uncomfortable at any
point?
No.
Yeah.
With the Husker Online event with all the people yelling things from the show at you. Yeah.
No, it didn't get uncomfortable. People are very classy. A lot of crossover people. And there are a lot of breakers. We got to be careful what we say.
These people are listening.
Yeah, we got to be more careful. You know, I always walk away going, oh, God, there are people listening. And Jennifer, I need to do a shout to Jennifer and her husband.
Hubby?
Brad. Yeah, hubby.
Jennifer gave me a couple candles. She makes candles. Mm. She makes candles. She brought two candles in a nice bag. Thank you, Jennifer.
You like candles. We know that.
You buy them every week.
Yeah.
And there might be one lit right now, correct, at the house? This happens quite often.
Yeah.
If you're an insurance person, no.
Definitely not on right now.
No, there's not one burning right now. But there was a time when I would have one burning all hours.
Very safe.
An open flame in the house.
Safe.
At all times. Okay.
That's exactly what you want.
Okay.
Tell us about the event.
It was on.
Were you peppered with questions?
Yeah, it was on the patio. There's 350 people plus. It was on the patio at Zipline. It was good.
In Fallbrook.
Yeah, it was a good event.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a good event. But a lot, like I said, a lot of breakers. It's amazing how many people just approach you with stories of how they listen to the show.
A lot of people, they talk about their location.
Yeah, and just how they do it. You know, they might listen to some of it in the morning, then they circle back at night. It's amazing how elaborate some people are. And we appreciate the hell out of it.
Absolutely.
I'm always kind of taken aback by it. So we have to say smart stuff.
There's been a little. There was a push.
The dumb stuff's more popular though.
Yes, from Candace, from Arthur, about maybe pushing on for me to be the
ambassador,
rural ambassador representative.
For Nebraska. I think it's not a bad idea.
Who would even be his competition
for small towns and ag?
I could name somebody.
Who?
How about Matt Davison?
If he would go for the role, that might
Bill
be a competition.
It'd be a good competition.
Be quite the campaign there.
I think it'd be a great competition.
Bill?
I say bring it on.
Bring it on,
Matt, if we're going to go head-to-head, that's fine.
I do think ambassador. Of Bill. Yeah. Bill's. I like Bill in that race because of his age. I think he's more dignified at this point. No offense, Matt. Bill's just a little more kind of seasoned than Matt.
In seed and ag.
Yeah. Well,
Bill is very well versed at this point.
I work in ag now, Steve.
I don't know. I think it's a great idea. I don't know exactly what you do, but I'm not sure it mattered that much.
Well, I wear a sash.
You'd go around. No, you'd wear your cranberry suit.
Who said I had to wear a top hat and what else?
Yeah, that was one of the breakers said that. Yep.
You'd be a magician.
Yeah, exactly. Why is he pulling a rabbit out of his hat?
Why is he have a top hat?
Why is he wearing a seed cap and all of a sudden he's doing magic tricks?
With music in the background.
Laura's my assistant.
Laura.
Get in the box.
My first assistant, get in the box. We're going to cut her in half.
No, I think you would be a perfect ambassador.
It's a job that needs to happen at some point. Mm-hmm. Some sort of position needs mm-hmm. to be in play for that.
I'm trying to think of anything else. Greg,
I was told somebody yelled Randy last night at you.
Yes, somebody yelled Randy. Greg pulled some hijinks, and it was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Greg, missing tooth Greg, he had a very good-looking woman come up and ask for my autograph. Yeah. And it was pretty funny because the picture was really bad of me, and it was in a folder. It was in a manila folder.
Pretty good by Greg.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny in front of everybody. Buddy. Yeah, he pulled it off perfectly. I knew something was up. I was like, come on. Why?
So Missing Tooth Greg now is not come by the station, but now he's going to other events.
He'll be by the station this week.
This is interesting, Greg.
He'll be here
for about 2 months, it feels like.
So we happened to mention that you missed on some forecasts, and all of a sudden Greg's showing up to different events and not showing up here.
He went with Doman, his friend, Mike Doman. By the way, Doman's a great breaker.
Long-time breaker.
Yeah, long-time breaker.
We haven't seen Greg since, like, that event we had at the hotel.
He's been working.
July 3rd.
Yeah, we've not.
He's working on Friday.
He brought the truck over there.
He told me, hold it, time out. Your exact words a month ago, Greg's retired.
Well, but he's still.
He did say that.
But he's, he just retired, number one. And there's he's still working a little, like 25 hours a week.
Gotcha.
At 7 in the morning?
7 in the morning?
He's still in the morning. I don't know if he wants all this out. I'm sorry, Greg. Yeah. But
that's
still
too bad. He's a part of the show. He gets it out there.
Right now, Greg,
it's too damn bad, Greg. It's out there. Yeah. So.
All right, we'll cease that talk, Greg. But yeah, anyway, he's still doing some stuff. But he was there last night, hijinks, with Aaron and his friend Aaron and Mike Doman. Aaron's a great dude. Has a Harley. So there you go.
It was a fun event, though.
Oh, God,
a lot of breakers.
It was fun.
Good times. Beers were had.
Mm-hmm. I had a zip line. That's a whole other thing, but anyway, yeah, it was fun. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
And thanks to Jennifer. I got those candles. She put them at the waitress headquarters in a bag, and there was some question whether...
Is there a note attached?
Yeah. No, Jennifer... The one thing she did doesn't bother me, but the kid told me, I walked up there, and the kid at the stand where the hostesses are just grabbed the bag. I said, how'd you know that was for me? He said that Jennifer told him there's a little guy in a green
there
shirt.
Yeah, there it is. He had to tell you that, the little part. I mean, come on.
The woman said there's a
you
little
can't
guy.
Miss, you can't miss him. It's hard to miss.
Anyway, thank you, Jennifer.
Bill, idle chit-chat for you at all?
Nothing, just some text messages from Keith Mann.
This was good.
Yeah, some stuff from
Keith
Mann.
He's fine with all this.
Yeah, Keith Mann sent a text to us that was very interesting.
So Keith Mann yesterday, you texted him during the show.
He texted
during the show.
About 8:30 or so.
Asking if Swim and Jake could go to the
food tasting. We'll get to that later on. We'll get to that part later on the show.
You'll get to that later. The stadium.
Why did you yell crab legs?
I yelled because I think Robin was eating some crab legs at that point.
What'd you say?
I might have yelled it kind of loud.
Yeah. Did you say crab legs?
Crab legs and
crab legs in football.
Yeah. And I did probably yell that. That sounds right.
You were loud.
And he's also concerned that Sipple had a Roebuck endorsement deal. He was very concerned about that. He also made it very clear they can only have one helmet nacho per person.
Did you abide to that?
I didn't have any helmet nacho, but I did. Yeah, no.
No, you didn't have a helmet nacho?
Nope. I'll tell you what I had in a little bit.
Okay, don't worry. We're not going to blow the segment. We'll circle back.
I was in the elevator with Keith, though. We went up the elevator. And
you rode the elevator with Keith,
man.
Royal
territory over
did
here.
Did he mention at all about why he didn't RSVP and just, I guess, you guys are doing things a little different now at the station?
He said, I didn't know that Bill was bringing up my text in the show. I said, well, they were innocent, yes. Keith. He's like, yeah, it was fine. Yeah.
He was in good humor yesterday.
Was he in good humor?
He was, yeah.
He
got going after that.
Strangely. But I he was fine with you texting him during the show, too, which I was a little nervous about.
Me and Keith go way back. I've known him.
You do. You probably are.
I've known him for like 25 years.
You're in the safe zone with Keith,
I imagine you've known him as long as I have, or maybe longer.
Pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know when I first started dealing with you that you knew Keith that way.
Well, I did work with him, and we talked daily. So that was so.
Well,
I
talked to him more than I did.
I actually worked in the building with him.
He's
a gem.
He would come up a lot he would have things to do. He used to come up to talk to the head coach about something or whatever was going on, and then he would kind of loiter around the front desk right there. And then that's when I would come by with some smart aleck comment,
and we'd
fire back a couple back and forth. Then we'd have some sort of a Seinfeld reference, and we'd move on with our day. That was our deal. It was about a 22-second.
It always came back
exchange.
To Seinfeld.
Always
though, right?
Came back to some sort of
he likes that.
Our favorite, me and Keith's favorite one is got to support the team. And it's when Putty was a face painter, and he came out with his face painted like that. I was like, what do you think? He goes, got to support the team. And so we always talked about
it. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all red. He's the Devils.
New Jersey Devils.
They're going to a hockey game, and Putty showed up with his face painted. And so every time we see a face painter, me and Keith will be like going, got to support the team.
I can hear him.
Yeah.
I can hear him. He's dry.
Yeah, very dry.
One thing before we move on, I was telling Bill this morning. I ran a little late this morning because.
Why?
This is almost a bugaboo. I'm not taking Bugaboo Tuesday or Bugaboo Thursday. But
Jake's doing my show.
No,
now.
I just said this.
That's fine. Just do it every time.
The last, whatever
Jake's
the last
thrills?
12 years.
We'll do Jake's Thrills today.
I just said I'm bothered by the
calling
button.
Calling Dr. Jake.
The button to start the car versus turning like back in the day. I don't trust the button. My button on my car is going out. The last like month or so, it's 50-50 if that thing starts up right away.
Really?
I can't do the sound effect. It's not good. Uh-uh. But today it took several minutes to get the car going, and I couldn't take Elizabeth's car because she's got to be somewhere this morning, so I couldn't take that.
Hmm.
Can anyone chime in on what Jake needs to do?
probably need to get that.
Is it actually the starter that's going out, or is it the ignition that's going out?
Yeah, which one is it? And which one's better for me in terms of price here?
I don't know. I don't know which one's better.
No matter what, both of them they're going to get you.
They're going to
get
you.
You told me that one time recently that no matter what, it's about going to be $1,000.
Yeah, just when you walk in a place, just a minimum of a grand.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, your neighbor was there last night, Scott.
Scott Castle. Yeah, I know Scott.
That's the one you don't get along with?
No, that's the one I hadn't talked to. I know Scott from advertising in the past. Good guy.
Beard?
Yeah, Scott.
It's beard.
Bearded Scott.
Scott is like two houses down from me on the other side of the road.
He's got a Santa beard.
Is it that long right now?
It's not as long. No, he say cut it. But it's a gray beard.
Yeah.
And he's older than me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So Scott, we got the wrong neighborhood. Guy. In the neighborhood.
Yeah.
This conversation is going nowhere. So we're just talking about Scott's beard. Eventually, we're going to move on.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make sure it was him.
Okay. It was. Scott's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a good
guy. Little guy. Little guy.
That is
a little guy in a green shirt's going to come up here. Did they call you a leprechaun?
I don't think so. No. I don't know, just a little guy in a green shirt.
That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by 738 Ag.
Joey!
You need seed, chemicals, fertilizer, someone to run the sprayer for you. 738 Ag runs the whole show, custom application included. Learn more at 738ag.com.
Seed waits for no one. It's harvest, but you better have your plan. It's not very long here, and the seed's going back in the ground. They go, we'll be sitting here going like, I'll be damned. It's time to plant. And you better have a plan. You know, it's called Joey in April. Hey, need that seed over here. Well, maybe get it ahead of time.
So yeah.
Joey's taking orders right now. He's got a pin and a little one of those little sheets you have like that to write your order down on.
Yeah.
He has one of those sitting on his desk right now. Just call him up. He'll write it down. He'll enter it then in his computer, and then it's ready to go. He'll do data entry.
Joey. 738ag.com.
Data Joey.
Out in Bertrand doing big things. Data Joey.
I'm doing data entry.
Data entry.
Yesterday, we heard from EJ Barthel and Marcus Satterfield. Marcus Satterfield had a comment about Nebraska being tight end you.
No, he did. He was. Well, now, hold on. Be fair.
What was the question in the comment? I have the audio here. What did he say? What was the question?
The question was more along the lines of Luke Lindenmeyer mentioned that Nebraska could be tight end you, and he was asked about Lindenmeyer's comment.
I think it's attainable. I think that we keep working towards it every single day. I think it doesn't just happen in 1 year. I think it's just going to start, an accumulation of talent year after year through recruiting when people see what our offense looks like and how we're utilizing the tight ends and all the different things. I mean, you don't just come here and line up off the ball and block the backside inside zone. You get to run multiple run schemes. You got to learn how to pass pro. You got to learn how to be a route runner. You have to learn multiple positions. You got to get in big sets. You got to hear long play calls. So I think, you want to win and you want to be developed as a tight end that can produce at the next level. This is going to be a great spot for you to come.
Luke Lindenmeyer, he had some comments about Luke Lindenmeyer. Luke Lindenmeyer's clearly their best tight end. I mean,
they got it.
I think he's just his confidence has grown. There were older guys in the room last year. He's played the most football at this position, and I think a lot of our guys lean on him with questions. And I think he's confident. He knows that he can do it. And I think the more confident he gets, the more leadership opportunities he's going to have. But he's doing a really nice job right now leading the room.
Yeah, Lindenmeyer is a critical player because he has much more experience than Heinrich Harburg and Carter.
That's your guy.
Yeah, or Carter Nelson, but they're Heinrich's still learning the position. Carter Nelson, he started off by being asked about Carter Nelson. Do you have that sound? Carter Nelson is a, what we call him, a sophomore.
I don't have that one. What did he say?
Just that he's moving really, really well. He's just young at the position, but so he's playing catch up as Bill, I always called an inline blocker. Is that what you call it?
There's something to that. Yeah, there's always a combination of whether attached or detached. That's always
attached or detached.
And then it's always, is he in line? In line means he's lined up directly even with the tackle. Or if he can be attached, but he's in a sling / wing position.
Okay.
Which means he has the ability to stay front side. It also has the ability to go backside. Rarely. I'm saying I haven't seen it, but I'm saying 99% of the time when the tight end is attached, and he's on the same level as the tackle, he's staying on the same level.
Okay.
That's where the tight end can change with where they go. And then that's where there's such a huge discussion about the alignment of a tight end in a wing position. Are they is his back foot just even with the tackle? Is he tucked inside? All those things, there's clues that you're looking for defensively off of that. So those are different things that go on.
Yeah, and what else goes on is if he's got to block a tackle and he's not used to it, it's not going to be easy. You know, he's got to learn how to do it. And Carr does too. So Lindenmeyer's their guy, and Markway would have been good. I liked it better when it was Lindenmeyer, Markway, and you knew that those guys could block and catch. Now you have Heinrich and Carter, who you know can catch. I don't know what it's going to look like as blockers. Heinrich runs, it won't mean much to you. It means something to me. He runs 22 miles an hour. Heinrich can really run.
That's fast.
There's run 22.
Yeah, it's a really good time.
Yeah. So
are you still on top of his bandwagon, Heinrich?
Yes and no. I mean, I probably underestimated how difficult the transition is.
It's a difficult transition.
Yeah.
That's quarterback to tight end.
You'll see all the time, like in the NFL. He's an athletic quarterback. Just make him a wide receiver.
Sure, there's nothing to that at all.
Took
that
reps one. There at all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. So I think he'll get better as the season goes on. And I did ask Satterfield that. That was the only question I think I asked yesterday. And I'd ask Bill that. Satterfield had an answer. It was a good one. But is it harder to develop during the season once the games begin?
Yeah, it's harder. I mean, you have more time during camp. That's a heavy camp position, but you can keep improving all the time. So, give an example at we had really good tight ends, and I was coaching at Wisconsin. Really good players, and we played with a lot of tight ends. But every Tuesday and Wednesday, because I went to the drill. We had outside backers against tight ends, and we had two sets, and one was running routes, and the other spot was blocking. And so we went good on good for 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, for a period every single. So
really?
They had to block, and we had to defend good block, and then we had to cover good tight end routes. So that was so development kept going. So people did get better throughout the year because of that. But if you don't have a plan to develop, if you think it's going to just, well, it's just time, means it'll be better. That doesn't do anything. It's like, what'd you do with your time?
Listen to him over here. He's right. Now, what Satterfield said was, Heinrich, a player like Heinrich can get better during the season, and it's helpful to Heinrich that he already knows the offense. He already knows he doesn't have to learn that stuff, so he can better concentrate on the technical aspects of his position. He'll catch some balls. You know that.
Yes, he will.
He'll probably catch some key ones.
The thing that will come up that you'll look for is in the tight end spot is if they're in 12 personnel. Do you know that if I'm a defender, a defensive coach, I'm looking for, okay, they're in 12 personnel, but who's the 12 that's in the game? Which means it might be Carter Nelson, and it might be Heinrich there, so it's 12 personnel. But that also means there might be a 10 picture, which means they're both detached.
Well, then what?
And then that makes you think about what you might want to call. And so like that, or it might be like, hey, it is Carter Nelson and it's Lindenmeyer. Then that means that maybe one is going to be attached. Probably Lindenmeyer is going to be attached.
Right.
The other one's going to be detached.
Right.
So what pictures do they make from 12 personnel is something you want to look at.
Question.
Yes.
You could have a scenario where there's no attached tight end. You could have Carter and Heinrich out there. Is that what goes through your mind then?
They can detach Lindenmeyer too. So if it's one of those games, if they're going rapid pace, but a lot of times, like I know myself, and I learned this through other people, but this last year, that one of the successes we had on some things was I would wait to call and see if the tight end was in the core or not in the core, because they run it's a different game when he's in the core and when he's out of the core.
Really?
So what they run, what the potential runs are from those spots, all of a sudden it's going to be a counter. Could be a counter tackle tight end pulling back. Well, that's not going to happen in detached football. Detached football is a lot different. So you had to kind of have an idea with that.
Now, it limits the run game a little bit.
Limits the run. Now, the next thing is, though, is how much do they add in? So Sarkisian's really big on adding the tight end, which means you never got a clue where he was at. So he always lined up detached.
But could move in.
And then he would motion in, and sometimes then he would hump motion across it. So you didn't get your early clues on what was going on. So you had, so with someone like that, you could not wait to hold your call because it didn't know it could, or they would build it with him in the core, and then he'd motion out. He would hump motion out of the core.
Did you get that seminar? Yeah. I mean, you line up your tight end offline and then move him in.
So it
Bill can't read it. It can't read what you're doing as well.
Some of the pre-snap stuff is like that, and then sometimes you get the calls out. But I would tell some guys, hey, listen, on control downs, I'm going to hold the call because I'd always be asked in the press box, "Where's the why?" And all I want to know if he was, I didn't care if he's field bounder, that where's the why? It was, is he in the core? Is he out of the core? And because a lot of times people didn't build very much, they didn't build it either direction.
Wow, seminar. So why you're talking about why is it tied in?
Why the tied in? Yeah, usually they're called whys and yous.
Okay,
so the whys usually are more inline guy, use more of your mover. So that's kind of how you'd look at them.
See, now what I'll look for more is, can they just beat guys downfield?
Yeah.
Can they be a safety?
And then off of what action?
Can they be a safety?
If you're building big, you'll see big throws to tight ends down the field, generally off of control down passes, play action pass, second and six, or it's first and ten, whatever, play action shots. And then that's where eye violations happen. Eye violations will happen, and you'll lose the tight end because of the move, how he disguises, how he'll block down, then release, and different movements off of that.
And that's why the 22 miles an hour means something to me, because
someone makes a mistake, he can get past you quick. Yes.
Oof. He's running, Jake, he's 22 miles an hour is faster than some DBs. He'll be faster than some safeties at 22 miles an hour.
Yeah, he will.
That's
he
a will. Big man now. I mean, that's...
Now, the big thing on the 22 is how fast you get to 22.
Yeah, I get that.
That carries more, because I know a lot of guys that might be, that ran, maybe they're 11, 100 meters, but they're... Their 10 is a 1.5 or really that in football, just, you know, that resonates way more. Quick. What your 10
like
is.
Like Bonkats.
Yeah. What your 10 is and what your, even not even so much your 40, really what your 10 and 20, how fast I can get to top end. That there, it's a burst. It's a twitch game. And so how fast like that. So if it's a lumbering, it's like all of a sudden it's like he wins, watch, he'll win the 100 meters. He'll be behind it at 75 meters, but he'll catch everybody about the 90-meter spot. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't translate to football.
Right.
I'm looking for the guy that's out in front, and then might get walked late, but he's leading at 60. Like that fires me up.
Yeah, I got you.
Anything else resonate from Barstool?
Was there an ovation last night during your
event? Hold on, we're still talking, Bill.
I just wanted to hear quickly about the ovation.
There was one. I don't know that there was.
What about running backs?
Emmett Johnson's now carrying 203. You got any Emmett Johnson sound?
I do. Here's the
EJ Barthel's his name.
That's nice. Right. Here we go.
Put the hammer on him as far as getting his weight right, and now he's carrying 205, 203 consistently, and he can tell the difference. We can tell the difference. He's running behind his pads. He's getting physical when he needs to get physical. Everybody knows he can move laterally, but now he's starting to understand the difference between 205 and 193 and what that looks like. And so we're pretty pleased with that.
That's Emmett Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He also talked about ball security. Did you have any? Okay, no label on that. He talked about Isaiah Mosey.
Got that.
Isaiah Mosey, who's probably number three. I mean, yeah, he's probably number three behind Emmett Johnson and Mekhi Nelson.
I mean, literally the kid in space is pretty special. He has just natural instincts in space. So that's kind of our plan with him, and just gradually get him right as far as the transition from wide receiver to running back. It's going to take some time. He's doing an excellent job, but he has natural God-given abilities probably from his father, who's on our staff, obviously. But he's got some instincts where he has a feel for the game. He knows how to make people miss in a small space. He knows how to make people miss an open field. So any kind of athlete like that, we obviously want to put the ball in their hands and try to exploit the defense for sure.
The biggest question with him is how will he handle the physical part? He moved from receiver. Like when Michigan comes to town, are you going to ask him to run between the tackles? I don't know.
I would think they will. Yeah, I think they're going to sit.
I don't know.
You only do outside plays.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, I asked Barthel that, and he says it's absolutely been an adjustment. I don't know. He might not be in the game at that point, you know.
Yeah, you never know. But like I said, that position is one that you can shine early. You see, there's been a long history of young running backs that have done well early. You see young corners. It's very hard to be a young offensive center. Mm-hmm. So I'm a true freshman in the Big Ten. That's usually not a good thing. So by position, he's in a really good spot.
He's in a good spot. I got to be careful here because I don't want to get myself in the same hot water I did with Amir in the between the tackles discussion where he got really upset.
I was talking about the Butler thing.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
I thought it was that.
Yeah, you've had trouble with a lot of people here recently. Amir.
No,
John
Amir
Butler.
Was in 2013.
I know, but recently this year you have John Butler problems, though.
Yeah, I don't have John Butler problems.
Apparently you do. Yeah. You guys have a little tiff
of a
feud going on here.
You do.
It's awkward.
Keith, man, if you're listening, can we try to get these two maybe together in a
need some sort of a situation.
Get some coffee or something.
Yeah, coffee. Get together.
Meet at the mill.
Mosey, yeah, it will be a factor, though. It'll be a factor.
The factors you have with that is because he's been outside. He's been has some wide receiver type knowledge. Is like you said, so they might go some 20 personnel, which means two backs in the game. He's the other backs. And then, but then all of a sudden, he motions out.
Okay.
So then you have to figure as a defensive coordinator, do we call it as 20, or do I call it as 10 or 11, or is it 21? That's what I know.
How do you figure it out?
Sometimes it would be 21 rocket. 21 rocket means they have that. That means the extra receiver. So 21 typically is more of a non-touch the ball person, which means a fullback. So if it's two skilled running backs, then then you'd call it 21 rocket. Mm-hmm. That means you're probably going to get a version of split backs. It's by gun.
I think you'll see that
split backs, and then they have the chance to work routes. I talked about off of the leverage of the linebacker.
I think Bill now Holgorsen has mentioned. He wasn't planning two back, but the way the running backs developed, that you will, he's putting some two back in. And I don't think that means full back. Yeah. I think that means two.
And a lot of time when that happens, there'll be a
running backs.
The other back in a drop back throw game, he'll be a free release guy, and the opposite running back will be the protection guy and the check down.
See, I bet you Mosey would be the free release guy.
That's what you would think. But anyway, that's how you'd look at it defensively. You have to have all these different plans of. What are they? And that's the one that you're working really hard on as you're trying to dig through everything you can, what you can pick up, and then during the game immediately you're trying to find out okay, who's in the game, what's going on, here's the deal.
How far am I from just transitioning to full coach?
Right now you're on the cusp, I would think, right there. I would love that all of a sudden just
I'm picking up. I'm picking up what you're laying down right now.
Picking up like that.
I am.
There's always an interesting like that. The first snap at Iowa, I'm at Wisconsin. Garrett Cox is in the press box for us, and he calls out 11 personnel. So we send Nickel in the game, and they line up at Iowa, and it's 12. And not only was it 12 personnel, the other tight end was an offensive tackle wearing a tight end number. So it's like number 80, and he weighed 330 pounds, and we missed it. So we're lined up in Nickel, and I'm like, G. Cox, any chance you might have noticed that the other tight end was 330 pounds and we're number 80? So maybe we could be in base in this situation.
Was he young?
Oh, yeah. Can that really kind of young? He's like, yes, I'm aware. I see it now. It's like, what?
We need to get the break. We're way late. If you are hungry for breakfast, brunch, or lunch in Lincoln.
That was funny.
A place in my head in downtown Lincoln is where, Bill?
The Bird.
Early Bird open 19th and K. It's been open for 12 minutes now. Stop by for a variety of breakfast.
Can we
burritos,
hit on this real
pancakes,
quick?
Pancakes, French toast.
I'm cutting you off.
We got to get to break, Bill.
We just had an unbelievable tweet, though, about someone started their life with their daughter like that. Dropped off, youngest at dorms at UNL today. Met her roommate and family for breakfast. We went to Early Bird. Oh. It was great. Food service, parking, atmosphere.
God.
Is a big, big way to start off our day.
And if they were wise, they went the world famous hash holes.
Hash holes.
Hash holes.
By the day, 19th and K. When we come back, an update on the new food at Memorial Stadium next, an early break of the ticket.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.